Back to this business in Gisborne. We got one arrest so far, as you heard. Two died, three others were injured out of this 100-person mass brawl. The police minister went to Gisborne yesterday to assist in all of this. Mark Mitchell's with us. Very good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
It was the policeman we talked to earlier on. This is highly unusual, very, very rare, and we can put it down to that. Or if we got a sort of a bubbling, brewing issue in a place like Gisborne, when you get thugs and gangs together, there's nothing good comes of it.
Oh, look, I think in the eastern region, from sort of Hawke's Bay right up to Gisborne, the police are very effective in policing the gangs. There is a big gang presence, there's no doubt about that. I think that, but I think in relation to this incident, which of course it wasn't a gang conflict, there might have been gang members there. It was actually a 21st birthday party. And the scale of it is unusual to have 100 people sort of spill out onto a public street fighting. Yeah, so, you know, it was, and that's part of the reason why I'm down here is because. To have something of that scale. The police response was outstanding. They did a station call out. They got everyone out. They got control of it quickly. Of course, they tried to assist the two victims, but they were obviously too far gone. And now we've got three people in hospital in critical condition. So, you know, an awful situation, very unsettling for the community down here.
What's it say about this country? I mean, I come from a different world, but the idea that you have 100 people and people who turn up who aren't invited and one of them's got a knife. I mean, that's just, that's uncivilized nonsense, isn't it?
Well, I just think that it's part of what we've seen, over the last few years, is that people feel like they're operating in a very permissive environment where nothing's really going to happen. They think they can do things with impunity, and we've seen a massive increase in violent crime, a 33% increase in violent crime, and I think that's probably a flow-on.
Yeah. Can I ask you about another couple of things while I've got you, and you've got so many hats these days? The $22 rent thing for rural cops, I just wonder, is there not a better way around this? In other words, instead of paying them to get fit and time off and $22 a week for rent on if you're a rural policeman, and all that, just give them some money. You know, you earn your money and make it simple.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, our rural police, you know, they it's a different type of policing. They're obviously remote. There's got to be ways of being able to recognise that. But look, at the end of the day, right at the moment, we are still in good faith negotiations with the police association. The police will be meeting with them again tomorrow. I'll come on the show and I'll talk about that in more detail when those negotiations have been completed.
Okay, no problem. Are rural jobs still hard to fill in general?
I have to get advice on that. Certainly in my day, they weren't, because it takes a special type of police person or policeman and woman. And often, actually, a lot of those rural jobs, sometimes they were couples. The husband and wife were both in the police. They enjoy being part of a rural community. They enjoy that type of policing. So historically, no. But I'd have to get advice on that now in terms of whether or not we are finding it difficult to fill those rural roles.
And that's why I asked the question, because that was my understanding as well. Also, as Corrections Minister, the story I'm sure you're aware of over the weekend, the $100 million in savings they've been asked to get, this is the 6.5% to 7.5%. 89% of their staff are what they would call frontline. Can you guarantee that the frontline isn't cut? And you can get $106 million by dipping into the 11% of the so-called backrooms and not getting frontline cut down in corrections.
Yeah, so look, basically what we're doing is, at the moment as a country, we're living beyond our means and we have to make cuts. And what we're doing is we're going through a cost savings exercise across government. Some agencies have been asked to find 6.5, some 7.5. As part of the budget process, there'll be decisions made. It doesn't mean that they're going to... that the ultimate decision will be, yes, there'll be a cost savings here of 6.5. But we've asked everyone to go and do that exercise to actually see where we sit as government. And then those decisions will be made through the budget process with the Minister of Finance, which is going on at the moment.
Okay. Having said that, are there some politics at play from the department? See, the reportage over the weekend is the department itself stopped short of committing not to cutting frontline staff. Is that the politics of this that you're facing, the pushback you're getting from the public service?
Look, we're not engaged in any politics around it. We're just doing what's the right thing for us as a country. And you know, at the end of the day, certainly from my perspective, the chief executives have embraced that. They understand the situation that we're in and working through that. process in a positive way.
Right. Now, the other thing that I wanted to raise with you was our producer, Sam, who got accosted and attacked over the weekend in the supermarket, and nothing came of it. And the reason I raise this with you is not because it hasn't happened before and it's unique, and not to put us in any sort of special position that somehow this is going to get fixed because of you. All I'm asking is I've seen it. I saw what happened. I trust Sam's story. I know how it unfolded. So you had four punks who go into the supermarket over the weekend and basically terrorise the place. And I've seen the video. Yep. And they're stealing stuff, and some people are filming it. Sam's one of the people filming it. He gets assaulted when this girl, as it turns out, who's under 18, comes up to him, kicks him. They're running around the store, creating all hell, stealing stuff. The guards are doing nothing. The police are called. The police do nothing. Nothing. And not only do they do nothing, they encourage people like Sam not to do anything because it's all too much paperwork, it's all too hard, and when it gets to court, nothing's going to come of it at all. Now, when does that get fixed?
So, look, so I'm aware of that situation, and firstly, you know, Sam did what a lot of good citizens do, and they tried to help, and obviously, you know the details around what's happened. I can't get involved in that case. I am the Minister of Police. I cannot interfere nor bring any influence to bear in a specific case that is operational, and the police must have operational independence. But the one thing that I'd say to you is this, is that we're emerging from a period where we had a 30% reduction in the prison population, where police were directed around alternative actions, which quite simply means a slap on the wrist with a wet bus ticket. As a society, we're not in a good place because we've seen this type, an enormous increase in this type of blatant retail theft and violence, and our retail workers are right on the front line of that as well. And as the incoming government, I've been very clear in my letter of expectation to the Commissioner that victims are put first, that we start to clamp down and really start to deal with the serious violent retail crime and the gang crime that we see as well, and that we start to deal with this. But it's not going to happen overnight, but we are fully focused and we are working as hard as we can so that we can deal with this ongoing situation and the situation that Sam found himself in.
Two things out of that. One, the police told Sam he shouldn't have videoed it because it made him a magnet. True or not? Fair enough or not?
Look, I'm not going. What the police would have been doing is that, and this is a big concern that I have as well, is that we're going to end up with a tragedy because a brave member of the public steps forward and wants to do the right thing. But what the right thing could mean is that these offenders are carrying weapons, and it could turn into a tragedy in a matter of seconds. And so, although frustrating, the advice would be as members of the public not to put themselves in positions where they, because, you know, obviously in Sam's situation, you know, he was assaulted, and that could escalate very quickly.
Yeah, but equally it could be called evidence. So what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. That's the quandary. That is, ultimately what we have to do as a country is we have to be able to return to a country where retail workers can go to work at in the morning, knowing that they're not going to be abused or attacked in their workplace. That Sam can go to his local supermarket and actually go and do the shopping without having to be confronted or try to help or deal with a situation like that. We've got to get on top of it, Mike. But my big fear is that a member of the public does put themselves in a position where all of a sudden we have a tragedy.
But here's my next problem is you're now in charge of this, and I know you can't get involved in an individual case, nor would I ever ask you to, but where's the letter of intent? Why are cops still turning up at crime scenes going, please don't do anything, we're not pressing charges, it's a waste of time, don't worry about it, it's too much paperwork. Why has that message now, in March, not come filtered down?
Well, the message is filtering down, but we have had 6 years of alternative action, slap on the wrist, reduce the prison population by, you know, 30%. That's the sort of environment they've been working in. They haven't been supported properly in terms of consequences. We're working on that so that when they do arrest someone, that there's actually some consequences and they're not out back reoffending. You know, the police will arrest a youth offender on a Friday, they're back out reoffending on Saturday. Yeah. So it's a whole of system of response. And we are working hard on that. From my side with the police, I just want to say that that the police response, without a doubt, has improved. They are catching these offenders quickly. They are bringing them to justice, but they're not being supported by the rest of the system.
Good on you, mate. We'll catch up Wednesday. Appreciate it very much. Police and Corrections Minister Mark Mitchell.
For more from the Mike Hosking Breakfast, listen live to News Talk ZB from 6 a.m. weekdays or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.
Shared Lunch is your chance to see behind the share price of the companies you invest in.
I'm not sure that 2024 will be a year that people remember fondly.
Hear from CEOs and experts with a fresh take on what's happening in the markets here and abroad.
There are a number of reasons that you might hold Bitcoin. It's often described as digital gold.
Shared Lunch from Sharesies with Business Desk.
You know, the World Bank is reported as saying that we're probably 3 years into five very difficult years. Where are the opportunities for people here?
When it comes to investing, we'll always bring something to the table. Listen on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.